Okay. Hi, and welcome. It's good to see everybody again. There's a lot of faces, of course, I haven't seen for a long time, and actually some new faces. We have some people from upstate, too, which is really good to see. Hey! So, hello, and welcome to the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center and the New York State Council on the Arts Digital Convergence convening on digital convergence and conversion, rather. I'm Karen Helmerson. I'm the director of the Electronic Media and Film Program at the New York State Council on the Arts. And this convening was organized in collaboration with Cinema Arts Center, Jacob Burns Film Center, Milestone Film and Video, and Wave Farm. And I'd like to introduce our partners in that so you can meet them face to face if you haven't had the opportunity to date. So on the far, we have Galen Joseph Hunter, executive director of Wave Farm. Next to her is Dominic Belletta, Managing Director, Jacob Burns Film Center. Immediately to my left, we have Dylan Skolnick, Co-Director, Cinema Arts Center, and Dennis Doros, Co-Founder, Milestone Film and Video, and Director of the Board Association of Moving Image Archivists. So I want to say thank you very much to all four of them, because there was a lot of work and planning and research that went into this. Also want to say hello and thanks to our NISCA interns and Milestone intern. We have Liz Tedesco, Patrick Tanko, and Lauren Gaddick here helping with us today. And they're going to be... Gaddick, okay. And they're going to be helping with the wireless mics. So to really, you know, get as much discussion as we can and get your questions and your comments and have you share your experiences as well. Of course, I'd like to thank the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center and Film Society of Lincoln Center for hosting us today. This is the first in a series of discussions on digital conversion and its impact on independent media, film, and technology as an art form in New York State. Our focus today is digital conversion and independent cinemas. Future discussions will broaden to look at conversion and the domino effect of conversion across a variety of electronic art, time-based media, sound art, artists, and media organizations. Whether you are engaged in cinema or new media and technology, production, exhibition, distribution, or preservation, conversion has already changed the way we think about film and moving image media. But, you know, what is conversion? You know, what is its impact on our lives, on the work that we do? How does it affect our programming? Who has to transition, and who can actually wait before making that leap? And of course, you know, many of us are asking ourselves, what is the future of 35mm film and independent cinemas? Beginning this year in 2013, many Hollywood studios will cease distribution of celluloid film. Instead, they will be sending out digital cinema packages known as DCP. Basically, these are hard drives with movies on them that are ingested into a server and played through a digital projector. This digital conversion presents a major turning point in the history of film as an art form. Not since the introduction of sound movies over 80 years ago has there been a technological change like this transition to digital projection. All previous changes, as I understand it, were either backward compatible or involved fairly minimal expense. Not unlike when typewriters were replaced by computers, the digital conversion introduces a completely new technology that immediately renders all of the theater's projection equipment obsolete. One concern among many is that small theaters may have to close, with few exceptions, if they cannot make this conversion. There certainly are opportunities as well as challenges, so we'll be exploring both sides. In response to this major event, however, the New York State Council on the Arts, NISCA Electronic Media and Film Program, has been engaged in a statewide survey of NISCA applicants and small cinemas. What does conversion mean for the media arts and for audiences across our public landscape? This convening is a direct result of that research. There were two very clear messages from the survey. First, there is a need for more information on digital conversion in conjunction with the need for people to meet to hear from each other in a public forum face to face. This was very, very clear. Survey participants agreed that isolation from peer organizations and a lack of technical information are foremost concerns in the process of decision making. Organizations need to meet, share stories, and learn from each other, as well as industry experts, what the options are for adopting or not adopting digital conversion. There have been many forums already on this issue and much discussion. This series of discussions that we begin today, however, will specifically address the needs of independent media across New York State. Secondly, the need for support is very, very clear. The results of our research over the past several months gave fuel to the Digital Film Projector Conversion Program. This is a new funding opportunity through the Regional Economic Development Council's, or REDC, initiative. NISCA is also working cooperatively with Empire State Development, Arts and Cultural Development on these issues of support. At the end of our discussion, we'll talk more about the REDC and the upcoming August convening as well of Art House Convergent at the Cinema Arts Center. So this is really a very important moment in art and technology for all of us. Your perspective and your experience will help enrich this conversation. Again, we're looking for discussion. There will be presentations, but we really want you to join in at any time you feel you have a question or a comment, or even information that you feel you have to share that would be useful for all of us. At this point, I would like to introduce and welcome Leslie Kleinberg, Managing Director of the Film Society of Lincoln Center, and for her comments on digital conversion and how the society is working. There she is. Sorry.
I didn't mean to scare you. But. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to talk, and I welcome you all here to the Film Society. My colleague Marian Massoni is here as Associate Director of Programming, and we're thrilled to have you here. This is our amphitheater, which is not a digital cinema space, just to be clear, but you are in the Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center, which has just celebrated our second anniversary. We have two other screening rooms in here, the Gilman and the Beale Theaters, both of which are outfitted with digital technology in addition to 35 millimeter, 16 millimeter, DigiBeta Cam, HD Cam. Don has a lot of stuff up there. Actually, there's a lot of stuff up there. We like to call Don Schull, who's our head of projection, Noah, because he likes to save two of everything. So I think we still have 3/4-inch decks. We still have super beta decks. We have quite a lot of random equipment that we keep around for emergencies in case someone brings a 3/4-inch to screen. And across the street, of course, is our Walter Reed Theater, which is also equipped with digital cinema, 16:35, and all those other video formats. I'm the producer of the New York Film Festival as well, and just anecdotally, I will say that we've seen what I would call just a sea change in the difference in the delivery of elements for the New York Film Festival. 2 years ago, we had 27 films at our main slate and our main screening facility at Tully. 10 of them were on 35 millimeter. Last year, we had 30 films. Only two of them were on 35 millimeter, and one of them was an archival print of our reunion film, The Princess Bride. So it was intended to be an archival showing. The restored version of Lawrence Arabia was shown as a 4K file. So it was not a 35 millimeter restored print. It was shown as DCP. And Karen just asked me to just give a very brief, I'll just try to be as brief as I can, about just how we here see this sort of digital conversion. We're obviously extremely fortunate. We understand that we're very fortunate to be in this space. A lot of people worked very, very hard to raise the money for this space, but it was a very forward-thinking proposal here to try to create these theaters with the intention of having digital cinema be the main way that film would be projected going forward. So we're in a very fortunate situation, and we understand that, and that's why we're very appreciative to be able to offer this space up for people to discuss, but also if there's any opportunity that anyone has or wants to speak to us about what we do here specifically or how we accomplished it, well, I'm very happy to speak and talk to anyone or, you know, certainly connect you with anyone about that as well. You know, at the Film Society, we are actually moving towards a philosophy that says that every 35 millimeter print that's brought in here is an archival print. It's not just a print that we show. There are no studios that give us any prints. So all of the new features that we show here are all DCP, all DCP. The only 35 millimeter we show is really from our Cinematheque series, you know, some films, whether they're from overseas, for the New York Asian Film Festival, we certainly had our share of 35 prints, but largely DCP. Even, you know, European distributors are working in DCP now as well. Retrospective screenings, we'll likely have a screening of we're having a Godard retrospective, and I was told yesterday that all his early stuff is on DCP. I thought, oh, it's all on 35, but actually his early stuff has already been converted. So it's not always, your instinct isn't always that all this archival or earlier series that we have or covers someone's early career is going to be on a film print. Many of the distributors, European distributors, and sort of many of the big studios are already converting their older films to this format, DCP format. We just spoke yesterday. We had a meeting with Projection and Print Traffic and Kent Jones, who's the head of our programming at the New York Film Festival, about creating effectively new standards to give out to people for what we accept. Not only what we accept for the New York Film Festival, but what we want to be able to accept for all of our series. Can we take a ProRes file? If we do, how do we use it? How do we play it back in our projection booth? What are the specs that we can give independent filmmakers that aren't onerous to them, that allow them to finish their film, but don't, you know, call for them to go to an extra step that's not required? You know, I'm old enough to have had a film at Sundance that required a film print. You know, if you used to be that you got into Sundance, you were so happy, and then you realized you had to make a print of your movie. And then a lot of people, believe me, didn't go to Sundance because they couldn't get their film transferred to the film format in order to screen at Sundance. It's relatively new. How would you say, Deb, how long it's been since they've, I don't know. Yeah, it's not that long that it's, yeah, I mean, but it's, 10 years ago is probably when they first started to really do it in earnest, and in other words, that the requirement wasn't a print. So I think that you've seen very, very quickly it change. And for filmmakers, and I'm a filmmaker also, you know, I'm aware of what's involved and what the finishing is, and the conversion to DCP for the filmmaker isn't necessarily a problem technically when you're finishing your movie. I think the issue around digital is very much about the screening of it. For the filmmaker, it's not as big a difference. Converting to a DCP or outputting it to HD cam, it's more expensive still to make a print, a film print, and make a lot of them. But I just finished line producing a feature for Participant, and it's the first film I've ever done where I didn't have to deliver a 35 millimeter element. And when we started the film, that was part of the requirement. So by the time the film, you know, between the starting of the film and the ending of the film, our delivery requirements changed. So it went from delivering 35 to not delivering 35. We saved a lot of money in post, but I mean, that was a huge change just for the filmmaker perspective. Anyway, I could go and chat about many different things, but I just wanted to say here that, you know, at the Film Society, we certainly feel that the DCP is upon us, it's on us. We're using all kinds of different strategies for things like getting open keys and figuring out not how we had an occasion last year at the film festival where we couldn't show a film because the key expired. It was on a European clock and it expired, and no one was in the Paris lab at the emergency number where they said they definitely would be. And I had the ignominious distinction of being the first producer of the film festival to have a screening canceled. Which, you know, yeah, were you there? Oh, sorry. Oh, you had the same problem? So, yeah. So, you know, things about we are now working with other film festivals to find out how have they set up their situation with filmmakers, getting open keys, getting multiple copies, just sort of pushing to studios that we can't be locked into having keys for everything on a timed basis. It just doesn't work. And I think we're obviously not the first film festival or screening facility to have a problem with a key that expired, but it was a learning experience, I like to say. But it, you know, that's what we're looking at now. We're, you know, the things that we're looking at are, how do we do workflow for DCPs? How does everyone know what the KDMs are? If we have three theaters and we decide to show 20 feet from Stardom in the Beale, but then we want to flip it into the Gilman, you know, can we do it? Yes, if we have the keys so we can put it in the right server in both, you know, those are the kind of things that are involved in this at this point. Those kinds of questions are the things that are percolating up. But, you know, we see that as the way that things are going to happen. It's not going back. It's definitely changing to that digital format. So, blah, 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 I could go on. But there you go. That's the Film Society perspective.
Yeah, the question was, what kind of discussions, if any, do you have regarding the qualitative distinctions between archived or prints that were made in actual film and things that have become digitized?
Well, I think that's more of the programmers, and Marion will correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that the programmers often have a choice about that. In other words, there's discussions about the differences between 35 and DCP, but when we're doing a series, the person who has that film will tell us what they have. And is that right, Marion? I mean, it's not like we're choosing between, will you give us a DCP or 35? It's the choice, it's not us.
We have a choice.
And what is being offered, you know. So, but I think what we're looking at is that all of the prints that come through the Film Society now are going to be treated as archival prints. And that's actually a really different thing for us, because it's not that we didn't treat every print very carefully, but there's a very big difference between how an archival house, or, well, I'm not using all the right nomenclature, but treats a film, or the Academy, when a film comes in and it goes out their door, is very different than what a projection booth can often do. And I think what we're moving to is this idea that we actually have to think about it that way. Every film print that comes in is precious, and we have to kind of treat it in a particular way.
This may be superfluous. I just wanted to know, that means that you can't tell the filmmakers what formats you want?
No, we can tell them. We give them a choice of what we'd like.
The range of formats that you have.
Correct.
And they have to give it within that.
Correct. So for the film festival, we'll ask for a DCP or a 35 millimeter or a Digibeta.
So there aren't times when it's happened to us very often that the filmmaker will totally ignore that and give us a totally different one. For example, several of the theaters, Paris, Skirball, etc., don't have DCP. But the
right.
But the filmmaker will say, I insist on DCP, and then it costs us a bomb to get that deck in to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is part of a bigger discussion about what a festival or a theater can demand and what you can't demand. I mean, what's happening now is that filmmakers are only making DCPs. So they don't even have the option to make a 35 to do that. So that's the nut that we're talking about right here, is that they don't have those choices anymore. It's not really a big leap to make an HD cam, you know, or a Digibeta from existing material that's living on a, you know, in your online bay, you know, whether you output that to a DCP or output it to HDCam is really not a big difference. But if you try to make a 35 print out of that, that's where the money starts to be more expensive. And then it becomes a question for you all to figure out, what can you do? What are you capable of doing? And that's obviously the essence of what this discussion is about, right?
I'm sorry, don't want to hog this, just want to say, but
sure,
for example, couple of the filmmakers said to us, well, if you won't get us that and won't get us the deck, then we're not going to show the film unless you agree to show maybe a Blu-ray that they will do, and then we pay for that Blu-ray. So we were sort of stuck because that happened to be our opening night film.
I don't have any particular words of wisdom for that. There are so many things that I could say, but I mean, we, for example, are telling people that Blu-ray is not a screening format. So if you want to do that and provide that as a backup, that's great, but we don't consider that an actual screening format. So, because it's just the quality is not good enough, and for our purposes here. Now, we happen behind the screen here to have a plasma screen that's 152-inch plasma screen that we're just servicing right now, but that's made for digital input. It's made for you to put in a signal like that, or a Blu-ray. It's really made for a Blu-ray almost. So there are ways that that can work, but in our bigger theaters, Blu-ray is not a professional format yet. Maybe next year, I don't know. But.
I want to thank Leslie again. We're going to, you know, move on, but do keep all your questions. There will be, you know, certainly ample time. Before we bring on the first panel, however, and you'll find that probably questions that you had for Leslie, you will also be able to ask our panelists. I have a couple of corrections to make in the handouts that you hopefully picked up in coming in terms of credits. First of all, I want to make note for Leslie that her name, Leslie Kleinberg, has no S in it. And also, you'll note that we have her as the managing director of the Eleanor Bunin Center, the Film Center. Well, she is actually, again, the managing director of the Film Society of Lincoln Center and the producer of the New York Film Festival. So I want to thank you for your patience on that one. And secondly, we have another correction to make. We have Michael Tuckman with us today of M. Tuckman Media. And again, on the handout discussion, it says that the credits present him as being with Tuckman Media without the M. So we wanted to make sure that we had that corrected for you. Again, we appreciate everyone being here today. And to restate that audio from this event is being streamed live online at transmissionarts.org. And this is courtesy of Wave Farm. And it will be available as an archive recording at the same URL. At this point, I'm going to thank our partners in developing this. So Galen and Dominic will, including myself, step aside. And yeah, and I'm going to turn this over to Dylan to begin. And this begins part one on your agenda. And I'll let you go ahead and call your panelists up.